2, that's a good song. It's a blessing to hear that song. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and then 1 John chapter 4. This will probably be first message of a series of dealing with spirits. You'll see the word spirit often through here. And it's recognizing the influence of spirits and how they influence each of us and cause one to be do the right thing or do the wrong thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and down to the end of the chapter is a place about learning the truth of God. And you'll see that the author of the scriptures is the Spirit of God, and he works with our spirit. Verse 9, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, you notice spirit and spiritual is all through there. Okay, then 1 John chapter 4, also about spirits. First John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. So evidently these spirits are giving forth words. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you'd help us to understand these ideas as truth. I pray you'd help us to be precise in our beliefs and to recognize that spirits have a great influence upon each of us. And I pray you'd help us to understand these words and we'd draw close to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, that passage is about basically the idea of learning the Bible for yourself. A lot of people will say, well, I don't understand the Bible. And so you just look at them and ask them, well, did you ask the author explain it to you? Well, I never thought of that. Well, try that. Ask the author to explain it to you. Okay, the Holy Ghost. And he's the one that will bear witness to your spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How does he do that? He compares spiritual things with spiritual. He compares this verse with this verse, so that way you get it for yourself. Okay, it's interesting. A fellow had written me. He shows up a Rensselaer once in a while, And he'd ask a question about, well, is it not true that sin is sin? Whether it's the sin of sodomy is this, the same sin as heterosexual or fornication, stuff like that. Isn't that the same, adultery? Isn't all sin equal? And often that's what we're said. That's what we're told. And I started answering his question, and I said, well, the Catholics have venial sin and mortal sin back and forth, and I don't know about that, but it appears that there's fleshly sin and spiritual sin, and they're not the same. Hatred obviously is different than murder, but even though when somebody hates somebody, it's like murder, but it doesn't mean just because you hate them, go out and murder them because you already hated them. And so I'm typing this thing, and then it's like the Spirit of God said, what about what Jesus said? The greater sin. So obviously there is levels, because Jesus said in John 19:11, when he is the last words that he said to Pilate, he said, the ones that brought me to you have committed the greater sin. And so as I'm typing this, and it's like, the Lord's giving me the answer, I'm typing, hey, oh, the Lord just gave me something. And I typed it out to him. I said, man, what a blessing that is. But that's how the Spirit works. We have a common saying that when the Spirit moves, where did that come from? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Spirits, unclean and clean, are like words or thoughts that are constantly moving. Constantly moving. And so these thoughts will percolate into our mind, and a person has to come up with the idea, okay, where did that idea come from? Me? God or the devil? And so that's what you have. It's a constant battle in your mind. And so I want to give you three words possibly to add to your prayer list. I think the greatest prayer that you could pray is that your eyes are open to the Scriptures, but also you might want to add something like this, that God would give you prudence, that you would become a prudent individual. Okay? And that God would give you discernment. Okay, discernment in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The problem with it is a lot of people don't understand the Bible is because they do not have discernment. And the last one is discretion. Proverbs 2, verse 11 says, discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion is the outward action after a person has had discernment, after the person has exercised prudence. And if you could add these to your prayer list, I would dare say that this would help you draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Plus, it would also help preserve the information or the work or the fellowship that you have with your Lord until you see Him face to face. A matter of preserving. So a lot of people will start something and then fall by the wayside, and what they started is all just gone. Okay, preservation of it is through discretion. If you would look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, and the word is prudence. The first word is prudence. According to 1 Samuel 16, when God himself sent an unclean spirit, isn't that strange? God works hand in hand with Satan. A lot of people wouldn't think that. A lot of people think that, oh, no, it can't be. How can you have the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? Why do you have to ask discernment between truth and error? It's because error often appears truthful. And they often work hand in hand. And in fact, sometimes you can't even tell them apart. In 2 Samuel chapter 24 and 1 Chronicles 21, there's two places where one place says that the Lord moved David to number Israel, and the other place says Satan moved David to number Israel. Now, who moved David to number Israel? Both of them. They work hand in hand. And the problem is trying to discern the differences. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, prudence is one thing that God expects of us, Ephesians 1, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, it mentioned about David, it says he was a prudent man. When he became king, 2 Chronicles 2, it mentions that he was a prudent man. In Isaiah 52, verse 13, it mentions that Jesus Christ himself will deal with prudence. Now, prudence is a good word, but the world has made it a bad word. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you're just an old prude? Why do they say that? It's because somebody with prudence is exposing the errors or the fallacy of something somebody wants to do because of their prudence. They see the danger of it. And when they speak up, somebody says, well, you ain't just an old prude, because they want to do what they want to do. But yet when the consequences come in, they don't want you to tell them about that. Like the old saying, I told you so. You see? Prudence. Now, we'll run several places, if you would, in Proverbs, and we can help see the definition or how the word is used in the Bible itself as far as prudence is. Oh, the dictionary defines it something as intelligence or discretion or knowledge or the ability to foresee. That's what prudence is about, having good common sense. Okay, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, I wisdom dwell with prudence. Find out knowledge of witty inventions. Okay, prudence. Many of the great inventors of the past, they had prudence. What is that doing? A lot of times an English word will, if you can't figure out the definition, find another word that rhymes it with it, or the words or letters are similar, and it's going to be very close. Prudent and a student. Somebody who is prudent is somebody who really studies something out. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Okay, chapter 12, verse 23. It says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. You ever been around somebody just always, you know, thinking they know everything, they're going to tell you everything, and they're going to let you know they know everything, but then somebody with knowledge just sits there and listens? It's not saying that if you have the knowledge that you keep your mouth shut. No, it's just that you open it rarely, and you open it at the right time. Okay, chapter 13, verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. Okay, a prudent individual is somebody that, well, may hear a thought, may hear an idea, may hear a doctrine, may hear a belief, but they didn't quite understand it. But somebody who's prudent will take the time to study it further so that they can get it personally themselves. A prudent individual is not somebody that says, well, we believe. I get tired of people saying, we believe. Or somebody talking for somebody else. Obama, we Americans are not a Christian nation. Who asked you, pal? You see, always speaking for somebody else. Speak for yourself. Okay, and so the idea is, well, we believe. No, how about you personally? Do you understand it? A prudent individual is somebody who understands personally. They try to get it personally themselves. They try to understand it personally themselves. Well, I don't understand all of it. Well, figure it out then. You know, there's a big thing going on, you know, amongst fundamental Baptists. Is the King James Bible inspired or not? Got a letter from some guy. He's upset because, oh, people are attacking my pastor. I'm thinking, oh, get a life, fella. Well, I don't understand it myself. Well, figure it out. Welcome to the real world where not everybody else blindly follows somebody. But you see, the idea is a prudent man wants to understand it personally, yourself. You ask God for the wisdom. You ask God for the guidance. That's what prudence will drive a person to do. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. A prudent individual is somebody who can receive knowledge from somebody, whether it's given out lovingly or whether it's given out harshly. It doesn't matter the method of the words being presented. Prudence will weigh the words no matter what or how the technique is given. Okay, chapter 16, verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth knowledge. Proverbs 18, verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now that one's a parallel with chapter 27, verse 12. So repeat. A prudent individual can see something, and down the road they can tell you what's going to happen down the road because of experience. A prudent person will say, well, okay, here's what you see, this is what I see, and if you continue down that, this is what's going to happen. Obviously, unless God intervenes or something else takes place, okay, a prudent man about money and currency sees that this country's in a mess financially. And anytime it can just boom, confidence can go just like that. Now, some people that have that belief, they went and hid. You know, some have hid. But a prudent man sees it, recognizes it, tries to prepare for it. If he's got to do anything about it, he does something about it. If he don't, forget it. Doesn't matter. Because God's in control. A prudent man foreseeth evil, hideth himself. Okay? An example is country folk, you know, we're used to just walking around people. We're used to having our doors unlocked. You know, we're used to going to Walmart and just get out, walk to Walmart. But country folk that go into the cities, inner cities, don't recognize the danger that they're amongst. They're not been associated with it. Now, city folk go in there, they'll recognize, oh, there's a car sitting over there. What? Tinted windows. Go. You just got to be careful. Where a country folk will go in, become a victim of a crime because they're not prudent of the situation. You see where you got to be careful about things. Sad thing is often people become prudent after they become a victim. Okay? Prudence, if you would look in Acts chapter 13, verse 7. Now here's the first convert of Saul and Barnabas, or Saul in particular. At this point in Acts 13, the Bible refers to them as Barnabas and Saul. He put Barnabas first, Saul second. Later on, you'll see a switch to Saul and Barnabas, and then you'll see a switch from Saul to Paul. And I don't know if it's because his first, quote, convert was this guy named Paulus. Acts 13, verse 7, it says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. And notice the Bible comment about this man. It says, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Okay, so Barnabas and Saul comes in town, starts preaching their doctrine that God had gave them. This Sergius Paulus never heard that before. He's been taught Judaism. He's been taught other things. He never heard this before. That's got kind of a ring of truth. I don't know about that. I'd like to learn more about that. I'd like to learn about that myself. So he calls the two fellows to come to his place, sits down, talks with them, and gets it himself, receives it himself. Why? Because he's a prudent man. And then God changed Saul's name to Paul. And is it because of this situation? There's no way of knowing because the Bible doesn't say. But there he is as a prudent man. And I dare say that's the way we ought to be in regards to Bible beliefs. Get it for ourselves. Okay, the first word is prudence. Add that to your prayer list. The second one is discernment. Okay, prudent would be like your innermost desire to know something yourself. Discernment is where you try to figure out truth from error. Discernment is recognizing the differences between things. Okay, discernment is what Solomon asked for in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. When he became king of Israel, he asked God, God, please help me to discern between good and evil. Now, a person generally thinks, okay, what do you mean discern between good and evil? Anybody can tell the difference between a good tomato and a rotten tomato. Yeah, but what about a fake tomato? Okay, what about something that appears good that's not good? Okay, they're getting so, the big companies, big major food companies are getting so good at substituting chemicals for food where it appears to be food, but it's not food. And they're getting so good at it, you can't tell the difference. Okay, but the idea is discernment helps us out with this. Now, we're living in a generation where our generation calls good evil and evil good. When an evil man dies like a Michael Jackson, our generation said, oh, what an artist. No, what a pervert. Call him for what he is. He was a pervert that took advantage of people. Took, you know, got their money, you know. Oh, he was an artist of music. No. No, he was a pedophile. That's what they need to call him. I mean, the guy couldn't deal with life. You don't know if he's black, he's white, he's male, he's female. You don't know if he's an adult, he's a kid. Not a clue. Oh, he's an artist. No, cut it out. I mean, he died a premature death because he couldn't deal with life. Why is that? Because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And that's a fact. Okay? And we got a generation where you call good evil and you call evil good. Okay? Now, discernment helps a person recognize between good and evil. What is discernment? Discernment is, come on in, everybody come on in. A little bit early, but that's fine. Okay, discernment is properly to scrutinize something, to investigate, to interrogate, to question, to examine, to judge. If you would, look in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Discernment is recognizing good from evil when an evil appears good. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A person would tend to, wow, anybody can tell what evil is. Yeah, but what if it appears good? The fruit that was offered to Eve appeared good. And it was appeared to good, and it was she had a desire to make one wise. That's not a bad thing. But the thing ended up in a big mess. When evil appears good, what do people do? Discernment helps you understand it. What about when the circumstances appear right, but the circumstances could be wrong? What about when the way seems right, but the Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Satan is such a counterfeit, such a master at counterfeiting God and his words, is that he can set things up where a person lives their life thinking they're serving God when in reality they're serving themselves or Satan himself. How does he do that? He does that by appearing good. He does that by counterfeiting apostles. That's how he does it. It's a perfect counterfeit. If you would, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. One of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment, discerning of spirits. And if the Lord does for you what he's done for me, a lot of times you may come across a person where something just don't, something's there. And that's spirits communicating back and forth. Sometimes the Lord will point it out to you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, it says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, and so forth. But notice that one gift, the discernment of spirits. This is recognizing the attitude or the spirit of an individual. The New Agey movement, they call this aura. You have an aura about you. No, that's a spirit. It can be good, it can be bad. Okay, and so this spirit, it's like a energy force, sometimes they call that. It's the non-personal self. It's the real you. And if somebody with the discernment of spirits can recognize You're not going to bat a thousand, but you can recognize the general attitude of a person. Rebellion. You can recognize that. A faker. Jen and I was going into Sam's Club up there, and there's a lady up there as kind of a greeter, and I said to her, Jen, I said, that has got to be a water dog. The water dog females, it's like I could spot them. It's got a spirit about them. And, I mean, it's just something you could tell about them. Why? It's a spirit about them. When we were in Australia, we were street preaching at a market. They had like a market in their little town there. And I had a Bible verse sign like we do have, passing like gospel tracts. And a guy walked up to me, and he, right off the bat, no, hi, how you doing, nothing like that. You know, no, but God bless you. Just right off the bat, do you got the gift of the Holy Ghost? I smiled and said, sure do. I got him when I got saved. How about you? Oh, yeah, I got the evidence of speaking in tongues. I said, oh, you got the gift of speaking in tongues. Just show it to me. Then he goes, well, you need to come to church. I said, no, show it to me now. If you got the gift, exercise it right now. I want to see it. No, you got to come to church. I said, you're a faker. That's what you are. You're a faker. Why? Discernment of spirit. He is a faker. I mean, you should be able to exercise your gift just like that. And I'm still standing there. And of course, he walked off, the real fullness of the Holy Ghost. You know, he just couldn't take the, so he took off. So I'm standing, holding my Bible verse sign, passing out more tracts, and I saw Jonathan and Heidi. Somebody had talked to them, and I can see Jonathan. He's just being polite. But the look on his face, I could tell exactly, that, oh, man, I wish this guy'd get lost. Driving me nuts, He didn't want to sit there and debate the guy, but he just didn't really want to mess with. So I just had to walk over there, and he was another one of these clowns. So he just said, again, same thing. It's like the broken record. You got the Holy Ghost. I said, sure do. Got him when I got saved. He said, you got the evidence? I said, yeah, I got the evidence. That's speaking the Word of God boldly. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. That's the evidence of the Spirit of God, speaking the Word of God boldly. No, you got the evidence of speaking in tongues? I said, do you? Yeah, I said, show it to me. Right now. Come on, show it to me. You're mocking me. I said, you're right. I am. Show it to me. I said, you're a faker. That's what you are. That's a discernment of spirits. Now, if he was going to put on a show, I was going to interpret. Right on the spot. I can interpret it. He can put on a show. I can interpret. Hush on tie, tie, bow tie. Oh, man, praise God. You just told me you're going to give me $100. You see? That's discernment of spirits. Now, a lot of times, parents could do that. They discern attitudes. You see, spiritual pretenders. You can watch that, spiritual pretenders. I mean, it's almost like I could tell who's pretending to be spiritual. It's a dangerous sin. That's why God killed Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, Acts 5. Aquila and Priscilla, I get them two switched. Yeah, Ananias and Sapphira, spiritual pretending. Okay, somebody who's sincere, they're spiritual, they got a humble attitude, discernment of spirits, a leech. Man, you got those all over the place. Usually in White House or in Washington, D.C. That's the leeches. Parasites, so forth. But those are discernment of spirits. 1 John 4, verse 1 says you got to try the spirits. You see, you just don't believe every spirit. But this is a part of discernment. Okay, the next word is the outward action of discernment. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. And this is discretion. Now, these English words, you can see discretion, discernment. There are some similarities between these words. Another word is discrimination. Now, the media has made that to be a bad word, but discrimination is not a bad word. When a man puts on a wedding ring, that is discriminating against all other women except for his wife. That's a good thing. That's how you have a happy marriage. Okay? Discretion is knowing. Discretion is the decision after discernment. Discretion is knowing when you should say no, when you should walk away, when you should stand your ground. That's what discretion does for a person. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom. and discretion. This was a character trait of Joseph. After Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, and when Pharaoh asked, I want you to find a discreet man, a man with discretion. And Joseph was the man. Why did he have to have discretion? You have to have discretion to know when to say no or when to make the right decision. You see, when you're on a highway, when you're traveling down a highway, the best drivers on a highway are defensive drivers. And as they're traveling down a highway, they're constantly making judgments. He that spiritual judgeth all things. A lot of times it's just small judgments, but you don't trust anybody in the highway. I don't care who it is. You don't trust anybody. The best Bible students are defensive Bible students. They go right to this book. They recognize discernment. They have discernment. They recognize when somebody's lying to them, when they're adding a word, when they're subtracting a word, when they're changing a word. They're very precise. They're very prudent. They're an old prude, as they say. But you got to be precise with this book. As precise as any painter is when they mix the colors. As precise as anybody who sends email, if you mess one letter up, your email's not going where you want it. And people are so lackadaisical about their Bible, it's just downright pitiful to me. I mean, after sitting down with somebody, maybe showing them about the NIV, how it's a fake Bible where they take 16 verses out from Matthew to Romans. I mean, I show them, look, the verse is missing. The number's gone. And their attitude is, so what? That's somebody that doesn't have discernment. They lack prudence. They have no desire to try to please the Lord in that when Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Amen. See, we've got to be very precise in these things. This is where discretion comes in. If you would, look in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. Proverbs 2, verse 11 says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. What preserves your work for God is discretion. Why is it that there are so many Christians, born-again believers, who have fallen by the wayside? People say, oh, they're not saved. Nah, they're just as saved. A lot of them just as saved as you and I. It's the same thing that you find in nature. In nature, what age animal is the highest fatality rate? It's always the young. Always the young. I mean, if the vulture's coming down or if the eagle's coming down, it's going to go after the young. Why? Inexperience, lack discretion, tastier, tendier, more tender, easiest to get. The same thing goes on in the Christian life. You got a brand new babe in Christ, the big bad wolf's going to come get him. I've watched this for years. Somebody gets saved within a month. Generally, it's within a month, one of five cults is going to come and try to pull them out of their, talk them out of their salvation. I can name the cults. I have watched this for years. If you go to Kingdom Hall and you sit down and talk to a lot of those people, if they were not raised in the Kingdom Hall, you know what you'll find in there? Born-again Christians who have not exercised discretion and been hoodwinked. I heard about a preacher one time. The JW is witnessing to him. He was witnessing back to them. And finally he looked at them. He said, okay, now come admit it. One of you got to admit something like this. One of them had said that they grew up in a Baptist church. He said, okay, you right there. You say you grew up in a Baptist church. Okay, now tell me, did you ever sometime put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Oh, yeah, I did that. But, he said, now, did you really put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to your Savior? Yes, I did. But. He said, I ain't worried about you. What is it? It's a born-again Christian who lacks discretion. And they lost their work for God. You go to the Mormon church, if they didn't grow up in the Mormon church, you know what you're going to find around this area? You're going to find many of the members are born-again Christians who lack discretion. That's what you're going to find. You see, the problem is they have not been preserved because they don't say no. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. If you would, look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Discretion. It takes work to get wealth. It takes wisdom and discretion to keep it. Discretion is saying no to the telemarketers. It's saying no to, you know, some quick rich scheme. That's what discretion does. Okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. Paul writing Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, is that save thyself meaning the salvation of your soul? No, look at the context. If you go back to chapter 1, or verse 1, you'll see where it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. What does the Spirit do? It speaks words. So here this Spirit is speaking words, but notice the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now why is it that these people have departed from the faith? It's because they have failed to obey 16. Take heed unto thyself. One of the things you need to take heed unto thyself, in Malachi chapter 2 says, take heed unto thy spirit. Take heed unto thy spirit. A lot of people try to correct actions, but if you correct attitudes, the actions take care of themselves. You see? And the thing is, if when you're a spirit, people a lot of times will have a problem and an issue. When they get up, they don't try to deal with the problem until it's a major problem. It's easier to solve little problems than it is to solve big problems. It takes more prudence, more discernment to recognize the little problems than it does the big problems. But when you fix attitudes, actions take care of themselves. Example, in health, people, they get really bad sick. Oh, I've got a problem. You've had a problem for a long time. You just didn't know it. You see? And the thing is if you recognize whenever you are losing energy, you're getting sick. That's part of sickness. People have their definition of sickness is way over here where you got snot running out your nose and everything. No, there's some way before that. You see, and the thing is recognize small signs, small symptoms, as they say, so you can avoid the major problem. And the same goes in the Christian life. Okay? Do you have a spirit of lethargy come across you? Why am I discouraged? Figure it out why. What did I do? What am I thinking? Okay, that's spirits that are moving. Oh, I'm excited in the Lord. Why are you excited in the Lord? Figure out that. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And when you continue in these things, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. In so doing, he says, in so doing, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Save thyself from what? The chapters dealing with false prophets and false doctrines, save yourself from deception. You see, when I sit down and talk to somebody about the Bible, you know, Jan and I are going to try to schedule another time with this Muslim to deal with him about, he wanted to bring it up, talk to him. But anybody you sit down and talk with about the Bible. And the thing is sit down and watch them handle that book. If you've got a Bible in front of you, did he add a word? Did he subtract a word? Did he change the word? Oh, you don't need to be so nitpicky. Yeah, tell that to a mechanic when he repairs the engine. You see, tell that to a painter when he mixes the paint. You tell that to the computer guy that when he's going to work on a computer. You don't need to be so nitpicky about things. We need to be nitpicky about this book. You see? And when a man adds a word, show it to him, he added it. You see? When a man subtracts a word, show it. Why did you not add that word? Had a fella, I've been writing a young kid, he's been asking me about the King James Bible. He's a kid, I'm assuming he's a young kid, but he said, well, Jonah says it was a fish, but Jesus said it was a whale, and Jesus was mistaken. while he was actually, you know, attacking the King James Bible, I said, hey, man, you are interpreting fish from a scientist's viewpoint. You think a whale is a mammal when the Bible puts a whale as a fish. Yeah, it's a different type of fish. But what you're doing is you are coming to the Bible with your preconceived idea, thinking that the whale is not a fish. The whale is a fish. It's in the water. It has fins. Yes, it breathes air. I know that's different, but that's God's joke on the evolutionist. It came up on the land, breathed air, backslid, went back in the water. But it's an unusual fish. The Bible puts it in with the fish category. You see, and that's approaching the Bible from the Bible perspective. We let the Bible define itself. But a lot of people read James chapter 2. You see a man is wearing gay apparel. Well, what are they thinking automatically? Now, the strange thing is, I think it's probably, I kind of lean to that James 2 is a prophetic statement. That word is going to be changed, and the ones in the leadership is going to be that. But generally speaking, that word is a happy person. But you see, discretion and helps a person say, okay, I see where you're coming from, but here's the problem I have. When I was dealing with that Muslim in Australia, he came up and talked to us, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, Muhammad the prophet and Jesus the prophet and Moses the prophet. I said, okay, yeah, I accept that. All three prophets, if you want to call them that. I said, now, prophet. Discretion steps in. I said, prophet. Moses, I know of his prophecies. He did predict a few in Deuteronomy. Now, Jesus, he prophesied many times. Now, I know of his. I can give you several of his. And I looked at him and said, now, I don't know about that Muhammad guy. I said, now, I don't know much about him. I said, now, you say he's a prophet. Could you give me one? The guy couldn't give me one. I said, now, there's a problem I have. You call him a prophet, but you don't know any of his prophecies. See, that's discretion. That's discernment. That's figuring it out. Now, well, why don't you just accept because you're Muhammad? Because he didn't prophesy. Don't call him the prophet when he didn't prophesy. When I was in Israel, we took as a tour in Israel, we went to the Temple Mount. And usually what they do is you have a little, you know, 15-minute spiel there, and Mika, our Jewish guide, had 30-some people there, and we heard this spiel about Muhammad the prophet. He said, Muhammad the prophet, Muhammad the prophet, Muhammad the prophet. So about 15 minutes of this. And, of course, I knew where we were standing. You don't want to say anything bad about Muhammad on the Temple Mount. I mean, that's a good way to get killed. Okay, and so here we are, and we broke up the little thing and started walking out, and I just kind of walked right beside Mika, the Jewish guy. I said, Mika. He said, yes. I said, they call Muhammad a prophet, right? He said, that's right, David. I said, can you give me any of his prophecies? He goes, David, you're using your head. That's exactly right. Using your head, that's discretion. And that's as far as it went. You see, that's the issue. That's the issue. And the issue is discretion. Discretion, it says, shall preserve thee. Discretion shall preserve thee. Okay, let's close with that in prayer. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to add to our prayer list as we study this Bible. We ask you'd help us to be prudent people that come to this book and want to learn from it. Lord, I do pray that you'd give us discernment to know right from wrong, good from evil, discernment to know when someone is lying, discernment to know the right thing, the wrong thing, discernment to know false doctrine from true, discernment to recognize a pure Bible from a fake. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to recognize, exercise discretion when we need to say no, when we reject an idea, when we change an action, that we might have discretion. That discretion might be based upon proper discernment, discernment that we got from thee. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful in that. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. The piano will play. If you need the altar, it's open for you. Things to add to your prayer list. To learn this book. Be very precise Don't add a word, don't subtract a word, don't change a word. Get the Bible definition. You get it all in English in the old King James Bible. Prudence, discernment, and discretion. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. Lord, a book that we can study, read, and I pray that you'd give us insight to this book. Help us to honor your words. Help us to demonstrate by our attitude and our actions that it is the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.